2006, three young journalists en route to a conference in Montego suffer a shipwreck. They awake on the shores of a mysterious isle deep in the Caribbean. Broadcasting from an abandoned Jamaican army base, the trio continues to unravel the secrets of newsworthy Ghost Island.
Good morning, listeners.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Newsworthy Ghost Island.
Welcome, welcome. I'm David Brunell Bruttman.
I'm Alex Jensen.
And it's great to have you here.
It sure is. And you may notice that we have no David Reinstrom with us today, which
we don't.
Will explain why later.
Yes. Well, he is unfortunately out of action.
He is MIA.
A very set. He's
we can't
MIA.
Find him. He's gone.
If you recall, last week we played a track from MIA. So I guess it went to David's head.
And he's gone. We miss him very much, but nonetheless, the show will go on. We have some great music for you today.
We do.
And some great stories to tell.
We do. We're going to have a very, very special guest later on in the episode.
Yes, we will. So stay tuned.
And a little more from our tunnular adventures. That's a word that I just made up. Tunnular.
What does it mean, David?
Like of the tunnel, like an adventure relating to a tunnel.
Okay. See, I was thinking kind of more like tubular, but like tunnular.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like okay.
I mean, it's in a similar vein,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I understand. All right. So do you want to kick it off with something exciting? Some
I
song
do.
That we can dance to and sing to and just basically be merry.
Absolutely.
To. Okay. What are you going to play for us?
I thought you were going to play something for us.
Oh, I could play something for us. See, the way it's worked out is David is in control of my playlist that I put together today, and I'm in control of his.
It's and a crazy system.
It is crazy. We are in some sort of other dimension here. It's
We've crossed
pretty
the
messed
line.
Up. But,
it's like Sliders. We're in some... We've got... Or maybe it's like Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so I guess we're going to be playing something off of my playlist today. And we are going to kick it off with something real exciting. Finding Out True Love is Blind by Louis the 14th.
I wanna see like something I want. Anya, little Asian friend, well, she can come if she wants. I want all the self-conscious girls who try to hide who they are with makeup. You know, it's the girl in the front with the tight pants I really want to shake up. Hey, carrot juice, I want to squeeze you every way until you bleed. And your vanilla friend, well, she looks like something I need. I want this little smart girl with your glasses and all your books. And I want the stupid girl who gives me all those dirty looks.
Wind me up and make me crawl to you. Wind you up and make you crawl to me. Tie you up until you come to me.
And visualize what shall be related to you. You will think of all else that surrounds you as being like an infinite sea of darkness.
That was Legionnaires in Doubt by Death Ray.
Wow, David. You know what? That was a really great way to kick off the show.
I agree. And before that?
Before that, you heard Finding Out True Love is Blind by Louis the 14th off of their album The Best Little Secrets Are Kept, which is an excellent album, if I do say so myself. So.
I believe it might be Louis.
I believe it might be Louis. I believe it is.
I do declare it, Matt Bilouet, the 14th. I do say. Now, we mentioned earlier that our compatriot David Reinstrom was absent from the show.
Sadly.
Of course, it is our duty as journalists to explain to you, the listener, why. And get this. The dinosaurs,
dinosaurs
who
on
live
the
on the other side of the island,
right,
are going on vacation.
Yeah.
And they Lucky have dinosaurs. Asked us to actually take care of their gerbil while they're on vacation. So David's gone over to get their gerbil, in fact. Now, let me tell you about this gerbil. Alex, you've seen the gerbil.
I have seen this gerbil, let me tell you.
We are talking about a 10-foot-tall hairball with just spikes everywhere.
Spikes coming out of its back.
Right.
Out of its face.
It is a genuine prehistoric gerbil.
It's terrifying, honestly.
It's going to take David pretty much, I think, all day to get it over here.
I don't know how he's going to do that, but I am curious.
And unfortunately, the dinosaurs are, you know, headed off today. They couldn't change their flight. And all that business. So.
Wait a minute. Hold on. The dinosaurs are going on vacation.
Yeah.
Where? They're leaving? Why can't they take us with them?
I don't think we want to go with them. They're visiting a little island that we visited. That we visited during the monsoon season.
The monsoon season.
And actually, the excerpt from our travels that we're going to play today deals with that very island.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And I think you know the one I'm talking about, Alex.
I know the one that you're talking about, David.
Yeah.
The desert island that we visited.
Like, for real, desert.
No, like seriously. Like, desert island. I guess you'll hear about it, because we are going to play our adventures.
For you.
Just for you.
So, take a listen to the exciting vacation locale of the dinosaurs and our further torments on this excerpt from
The Monsoon Season.
Are they friendly?
What, the strings?
No, not the strings. The people riding over that sand dune.
They can't be friendly. People don't just pop out of the desert like gophers.
We did.
I mean, normal people.
Should we run, or do we talk to them?
They're on camels. We can't outrun camels.
They're getting closer.
Okay. Stand and look dignified.
Why?
Emily Post says first impressions are very important. We must choose our words carefully.
Their heads. Their heads are animal heads. That one's a jackal. And that one's a falcon. And that one is a crocodile.
It must be some kind of crazy desert knockout gas mirage.
No, I'm pretty sure they've actually got animal heads instead of people heads. Just act natural.
Hello, normal-faced citizens.
That was not what I meant by natural.
Excuse my friend. They dropped him on his face when he was an animal head. Baby! Baby head face!
Octana, who are you, strange-headed ones?
A better question is, who are you?
Strange-headed ones.
Yes, thank you, Dave.
I don't see how that's a better question than my question. It's technically the same question. I am Ralph Uncommon, the Jackal, and these are my associates. Jerumanatan, the Crocodile, and Dolores Shepsut, the Falcon.
I am David Common, the Journalist, and these are my associates. David Rahman, the Journalist, and Alexandrosaurus, the Dinosaur Pirate Queen.
On.
Very good. We will enslave you now.
What?
The Pharaoh has ordered that should any of his subjects come across 3 people whose faces are not cows or ravens or any other beast, they are to be enslaved on sight.
Look, my head is a cat!
You're just holding up 2 fingers on top of your head.
No, I'm not.
Yes. Yes, I'm almost certain you are.
Give it up, David. But why would your pharaoh order us enslaved?
We need laborers to construct pyramids. We'll be tying you up now.
Ow! I hate being tied up.
Hands off, Gator Gulp!
Quiet, slave!
For 40 days and 40 nights, they trekked across the desert.
Who's talking?
I don't know. I'm in a burlap sack.
Until finally, they reached the glorious city of Cairo, Thebes, Luxoropolis.
Could you repeat that?
No. Make way for the Pharaoh's emissary. Clear the streets. Kneel, pale-countenanced worms. Kneel before the all-powerful Pharaoh and her highness, the Queen.
The Queen's a cow.
Ow! Quiet before the Queen.
Oh, thank you, Ralph von Kamun. I love it when you bring me slaves. Is there anything else you'd want to show me?
Like what?
Nothing. Take these slaves to the rock pits. We must have that pyramid finished tonight.
Tonight?
Silence before the Queen!
Ralph von Kamun, issue these slaves their unnecessarily skimpy loincloths.
Just a loincloth?
You get an uncomfortable leather sports bra. Now off with you!
Ow! Man, the Pharaoh isn't much of a talker.
Yeah, but did you see the way he was looking at us? He's a little vulture-looking guy.
Dude, his wife is creepy.
Quiet in the ranks. Here are the blueprints. Finish by sundown, or we hit you with sticks.
The plans say that the pyramid will only be about 5 feet high.
Yes, these are cat houses. For our cats.
What? You keep cats as pets? I saw, like, 20 cat-headed people on the way over here. Isn't that, like, weird to you?
Weird? Weird how?
I mean, they've got cat heads, and they keep pet cats.
I'm not following you at all here. Look, shut up and get to work.
Finally, finished.
Actually, it actually looks kind of good.
Did anyone hear that?
Quiet! Here comes the Queen!
Hello, glistening, sweaty slaves. I have another task for you. The Pharaoh has had a curious dream. You must interpret it for him.
We can't interpret dreams?
All slaves can interpret dreams. Follow me back to the palace. Actually, I'll follow you. The view is better. Pharaoh, here are the dreamy slaves. I mean, dream interpreting slaves.
Excellent, my most monogamous and faithful queen.
Yeah, whatever.
Slaves, last night I experienced a disturbing dream. I was on my palace balcony, addressing my faithful subjects. And off in the distance, I saw 7 thin cows devouring 7 fat cows. And then I looked down and I was stark naked, in front of everyone. I was so embarrassed. What does it mean?
Your wife's hitting on everyone in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
What? Lies! You have interpreted my dream incorrectly.
I don't know if that's fair. It's a pretty subjective process.
Silence! For your insolence, you are hereby sentenced to clean up the hairballs of all the kingdom's cat-headed people for the rest of eternity!
No!
I demand a fair trial!
Your slaves, me not sentencing you to death, is a fair trial.
Your jujitsu system sucks!
Away with you!
Ugh, this is awful.
Here, put it in the basket.
What are we supposed to do with them?
Do what any responsible waste management crew would do. Throw it in the river. Right, you're on airball duty too. Off with you.
Oh, gods, not again. So, you're the new guys, eh? Yep, that's us. Pleased to meet you. I'm Brian Hotep, the Badger, court jester. Well, former court jester.
What are you on hairball duty for?
Oh, I told a bad joke. This isn't the first time.
What was the joke?
What's orange and sounds like a parrot?
I don't know. What?
A carrot!
Okay. Take a hairball basket, Brian.
Down to the river, then.
Does anyone see that?
Oh, what, down by the rushes?
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, probably babies in baskets. They're always washing up on the shores of the river. Kind of a nuisance, really. Blocks boat traffic in the spring.
Hey, where does the river go?
Back out to sea, I suppose.
Say, Brian.
Yes, Alex.
Don't suppose you've ever wanted to, see the world?
Well, now that you mention it, taking some of these babies out of their baskets and then using the empty ones as boats might be a pretty good way for us to escape.
Brian, I like you.
Okay, some of you babies are gonna have to double up, okay?
Okay, everyone comfy?
This basket is tiny.
And shove off!
So, it's a good job you lot escaped than you did.
Why is that, Brian?
Oh, well, that mysterious woman asked the Pharaoh to hold on to you until she got back.
What mysterious woman?
Oh, the one that wants to kill you.
And that's a true story.
That was so true. That actually happened. Why the dinosaurs would want to go on vacation to strange Egyptian animal-headed people island,
you know,
I don't know.
I'm sure they would be more welcoming of dinosaurs in Cairo, Thebes, Luxoropolis. Because they would be dinosaurs. Not easily enslaved, you know.
Yeah.
Giant prehistoric reptiles.
Yeah, I guess.
Not quite as easily enslaved.
I hope they're having a good time.
Meek little humans. Okay, now next up, we are going to play a song by the 1990s.
Whoa!
Called You Made Me Like It.
It's a pretty good song.
And it's off an album called Cookies!
And you know what? I love cookies.
Me too.
So we're going to go ahead and play that in the tradition of excellent music here on Newsworthy Ghost Island. So,
or even just in the tradition of liking cookies.
Yeah. You got it, David. You got it. So, enjoy the 1990s. I know I do. So, play it, Dave.
Okay, now I'm playing it for real.
Okay, I'm ready. Go.
You made me. Kept it in the cupboard in case I liked it. I got a green light. I'm glad we had the party at your place. Oh yeah, it didn't feel right danger. Baby cry, FDQ, FDP, Barbadees and Mozambique. Me, I'm on Decatur Street.
Thank you. up warm on this winter night. Every time you get defensive, you're just looking for a fight. It's safe to say somebody out there's got a problem with almost everything you do. Instead of playing the fool, and the roads are covered with a million little molecules of cigarette ashes, and the school floors are covered with pieces of pencil eraser too. Well, sooner or later, the ground's gonna be falling off of my ashes too. But I can't help but wonder if after I'm gone, will I still have these 300 mile per hour thing of breaking? No answers broken, bad and dirty cancer, be stung and busted up, empty cup, torrential outpour blue. One thing's for sure in that graveyard, I'm gonna have the shiniest pair of shoes.
You're listening to KWUR 90.3 FM Clayton. You can also listen online at www.kwur.com. What you just heard was the White Stripes with 300 mile per hour torrential outpour blues off of their latest album, Icky Thump.
It was pretty good. That rocked on so many different levels. I just don't even know what to do with myself.
I'm going to agree.
Did you hear those sweet licks? That's my electric guitar impersonation.
That was beautiful.
Hope you enjoyed.
It touched me in my heart.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it was your heart.
And before that, you heard 1990s with You Make Me Like It.
Their
album Cookies.
We liked it. And you know what? We like cookies.
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 I can't not say that excitedly. Cookies. Cookies.
I'm going to go ahead and ask you to refrain from saying that anymore,
cookies.
David.
Cookies.
So, David.
Yeah.
Do you know what's cool?
What's cool?
Time travel.
Time travel.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about time travel?
Let's.
I kind of do want to talk about
Tell me about time travel, Alex.
Okay. So I bought this book one time, right?
Yeah.
And it was totally all about time travel. And I totally read it, okay? Let's talk about some of the things that I read.
Okay, so what did you read in this book about time travel?
Well, let's see. The name of the book was Time Travel in Einstein's Universe. And it was by Richard Gott. And what a good man he was, because he wrote a fabulous book about time travel in Einstein's universe. And
Excellent.
One of the... They discuss a whole bunch of different possibilities for time travel and how it's possible
it's like
in the physical
ways,
world.
So it's ways to time travel that get around, like, relativity and...
Right. All of Einstein's crazy little ideas, like...
Okay.
Gravity.
Albert Einstein invented gravity. You heard it here on Newsworthy Ghost Island first. Before 1905, there was no gravity.
Contrary
then,
to popular
bam,
belief.
Albert Einstein, gravity.
Yep. Don't listen to what anybody else tells
you. If you've ever seen
you.
A painting or a photograph from before 1905
that shows things
in
on
gravity.
The ground in gravity, in a gravitational pull, it is incorrect.
It was a lie. They didn't understand they didn't understand how to not draw gravity.
It's kind of like the whole thing where they thought the world was
exactly
flat.
Right.
They also thought that
there was gravity
but
there actually
fact,
wasn't.
There was not. Everyone floated.
Yeah, but then in 1905, Albert Einstein invented it. And then he invented time travel, right, Alex?
He invented time travel.
How is time travel possible?
So, there's this one idea in which there is a theory that there are things called cosmic strings out in the universe.
Okay.
In the far reaches of the galaxy. And cosmic strings are basically very, very tightly wound together particles, like almost like dark matter. So they're kind of like black holes, but like not really, because it's not a hole. It's like a string, like a long line of particles in this form. And it spans, you know, the entire universe. It's an infinite string.
Okay.
And the idea is that if two of these cosmic strings, quote unquote, meet together...
Collide?
If they collide and explode. No, they won't explode. But
that would be awesome.
But that would be way
space
cooler.
Explosions.
Yeah. The idea is that the possibility of time travel would open up if these strings collide. It creates some sort of strange wormhole type, black hole type thing. And then once the strings pass each other again, the possibility of time travel is no longer possible. I should have worded that differently.
That could have been phrased better.
Yeah, I phrased that wrong. But yeah, so that is one cool idea to think about. David,
awesome.
David, what have you heard about time
Can you
travel?
Go back in time and kill your grandfather?
No. No, you cannot. Tell us why, David.
I don't know. I was asking you. No, as a matter of fact...
It's called the grandfather paradox. Basically.
Yes, it's called the grandfather paradox. It's that if you go back in time and kill your grandfather, which... Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? Come on.
I'm sure some people
before,
might.
Before you or... I guess before your parents are born, then you will cease to exist. So if you cease to exist, then how can you go back in time and... kill your grandfather because you didn't exist, but if you can't go back in time and kill him, then you exist, and you can go back in time and kill him.
Everybody catch that?
Okay.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense to me.
It does, but it doesn't work, and here's why. If you go back in time, no matter what you do, you will not be able to kill your grandfather.
It's impossible.
Right. As in, events will always interfere that will prevent you from killing your own grandfather because... you exist in order to go back in time.
Yeah.
So in order for you to continue to exist, no matter what you do when you go back in time, you're not going to be able to kill your grandfather because it's the same timeline.
Right, exactly. Because the thing is, with time travel,
I made a motion where I was like, you know when you have silly putty?
Yeah,
and you pull it out and it goes into a string.
And he did. He did that with his hands.
I made a motion like that.
I watched him. He's still doing it. He's still doing it now.
I am still doing it.
Gosh, there's so much we could say about time travel, but...
Why don't we say something different instead?
Yeah. I got something to tell you, David.
Okay.
I got something to say. Children are naturally curious, so follow their lead. When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary. Learning starts long before school does. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org, a public service announcement brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and KWUR.
Excellent.
Clayton, 94.3 FM.
Yes.
So, I hope you liked what I had to say.
I did.
That.
I loved it. So, today in the studio, we have got a special guest.
We have a very special guest. We're going to bring him down right now. So, let's all give a warm welcome. Let's go. Hi. Hi, how are you doing?
Hi there.
What exactly are you the ghost of?
I'm the ghost of Heroes Past.
Heroes Past. David, what do you think about that?
I think that's awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at a costumed, dark, mysterious, caped figure.
Yes.
Right here.
He's quite mysterious indeed.
He looks like he should be jumping off of rooftops, his cape swooshing behind him as he defends the night.
That's right. That's what I do.
So, do you want to tell us a story about it, or something?
I have many stories about my crime fighting.
Okay, well, pick your favorite.
But here's one that I'm particularly fond of.
All right, let's have a listen.
The city of Milwaukee.
In these dark streets, crime is king.
You'll never catch me, coppers!
He's headed for the roof!
But one man keeps the night safe. Stop right there.
Let go of me! Who are you?
I am Spider-Bat. My name is Derek Powers. When I was 10 years old, my parents were poisoned by a small-time criminal. Food poisoned. They got better in about a week, but from that day on, I swore to fight crime wherever it hid its slimy head. I trained for 20 years under the world's foremost martial artists, taking the two animals man fears the most as my emblems, the spider and the bat. I nightly don the cape and mask of Spider-Bat.
Powers! Get in here!
Yes, Mr. Yes, Mr. Stonewall?
Is there something wrong with your voice, Powers?
No, I'm feeling great. Why'd you call me into your office, Mr. Stonewall?
Well, I called you in here, Derek, because your sales are down. Now listen, as a label representative, you need to get the word out to those artists. You need to make sure that you're signing people at least 3 times a month.
Yes, sir, Mr. Stonewall, sir.
Now, I don't know what kind of weird, creepy hobbies you've got that would prevent you from doing effective work. Like painting miniatures, going to anime conventions.
Swooping around in capes at weird hours of the morning?
What? No, who does that?
Does what?
What you said.
Well, I didn't say anything.
Listen, Powers, you can't screw with me. I'm your boss, all right? I am the chairman of this company, and it is our job to produce quality music. Now, we pay you a lot of money.
Yes, you do.
I mean a lot of money.
That is a true fact.
So, your job is to be worth the amount of money that I pay you.
Yes, sir.
Now go out there and get me some lucrative recording contracts.
Absolutely, Mr. Stonewall. I'm on the job.
Derek, hey.
Oh, hey, Penelope.
Hey, I heard Mr. Stonewall yelling at you again.
Oh, well, you know, he's a good man at heart.
I hate babies!
Yeah. Anyway, so there's this music festival thing on Friday night.
Friday night? I mean, Friday night?
Yeah. Stonewall's making me go. It's like an underground music thing. I thought,
well,
you know, if you want to go with me, that'd be cool.
You know what, Penelope? I'd love to, but I'm...
busy.
Busy, then.
No, that's cool. Like, I totally understand. Like, you know, I'll just go. I'll go alone. It's completely cool.
Well, maybe I can meet you there, you know, a little later on.
All right. That sounds cool. Yeah, I'll be there. Okay.
All right. Cool. I'll see you later, Penelope.
Yeah. See you, Derek. Bye.
Penelope, run down to the coffee shop and get me a latte. And use real goat's blood this time.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, Penelope.
Later. At the Underground Music Festival.
I have Chuck Taylor's Look at My Shoes. Look at my shoes. Tambourine. Tambourine. The tambourine is green. Yeah.
Tambourine green.
Yeah. Unnecessary horn track. My shoes, shoo.
Look at my shoes.
Thank you very much.
Woo! I feel like horn solo.
Woo! Hey, Stephanie. So,
what's up,
band?
Penelope?
And you know, I'm cool. That band wasn't exactly my cup of Joe, so to speak. Yeah, I don't really dig the whole, you know, whiny punk rock.
Well, I thought they were great.
Yeah, you would. So you here with anyone or?
Mom!
What was that?
It was me!
Oh no! It's that mysterious can man!
That's right! It's me, Cannery Row!
No!
Yes!
No!
No, I'm pretty sure it's me. Everyone be cool! or I'll cream the lot of you with bullets.
Stephanie, get behind me. I don't like this guy.
Oh my god, oh my god.
What do you want?
What I've always wanted, Penelope. I mean, random girl.
How do you know my name?
The criminal element knows all. When I was hideously deformed in a terrible canning accident, I was given the power of knowing pretty much everyone's name in Milwaukee.
So what do you want?
I kind of want to own the Milwaukee Brewers.
You can have them. They suck.
Also, $20 billion in gold bullion.
Fine, then what are you doing here?
I'm taking hostages! You'll be first!
Oh!
Not so fast, Canary Row.
Spider-Bat, I knew you'd come here.
I always come here.
Oh, you do?
No.
Oh, okay.
Spider-Bat, help!
Penelope! Penelope!
How do you know her name? You're not a criminal.
Well, when I studied under the... in the Far East... Time to fight!
Spider-Bat, have you eaten today?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I ate dinner before I came here.
Well, how's about an after-dinner snack? Have some creamed corn! With bullets!
Spider-Bat! You dodged those bullets so deftly!
Spider-Bat, you won't stop me! I'll take over Milwaukee! I'll own the Brewers! And when I'm done, I'll turn this entire godforsaken city into a microwave oven! And then I'll shoot it! With bullets!
No!
You're not very good at keeping in theme, Canary Row. And it's gonna get you hurt.
Yeah, we'll keep this in theme. You're about to get beans, Spider-Bat. I mean, I'm about to throw this economy-sized tub of green beans at you. Also, there's a bomb in it. Look out! Where are your vaunted superpowers now, Spider-Bat?
Weren't you paying any attention to the intro? I don't have superpowers. It's kind of a martial arts acquired detective skill. Look, that's enough!
Ah! You crushed me! Armor all dented! Can't move limbs! Must talk like this!
Looks like you're past your expiration date, Canary Row. And now, to save Penelope! Don't worry, mysterious girl stranger. I'll save you.
Oh, Spider-Bat. You're so strong and oddly familiar looking.
There's no time for that now, Penelope. Get out of here, run as fast as you can, and don't look back, specifically at my face!
Thank you, Spider-Bat. I'll never forget you.
And now it's time to find out who Canary Row really is. Mr. Stonewall, the record executive, I assume.
How do you know who I am? Explain that one, bad boy.
Judo chop!
Unconscious.
And now to cuff you, and use my cellular telephone to call the commissioner. Damn it, no service. I'll have to move to a better area. Can you hear me now? Another crime foiled, but the night never ceases to sow new seeds of villainy. And when they sprout, I'll be there, reaping the harvest. I am Spider-Bat.
Wow. Thank you for that story.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess come back soon and tell us another
one. I will. I have to go fight crimes now.
All right.
Ghost
you do that.
Crimes.
Ghost crimes, right. Well, all right. Thanks for visiting. See you later. Goodbye.
Bye. See you later, ghost. Whoa. That was cool.
That was pretty cool.
He, shot a grappling hook onto a palm tree and then swung out the window.
And then he swung through the window. Correction.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Like he passed through. Never mind. It's not important.
I mean, it's the ghost. They can go through stuff.
You know, ghosts, they do that
It
sometimes.
Looked like he swung out the window.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's all about the effect.
Yeah, no,
I guess.
Cool. All right, so why don't we play another tune, then?
Let's.
I'm all Spider-Batted out.
I want to play the Reptile Palace Orchestra.
You do? Okay.
Yes, we're going to play a song called Kochari, which is an Assyrian dance tune.
Oh, perfect. I can put to use the things I learned in my Assyrian dance class.
Yeah, so let's listen to that and show me some of your Assyrian moves.
All right, here I go.
Kochari.
Hey!
Alex, those were some of the best Assyrian dance moves I've ever seen.
Thanks. That means a lot, David. That's my ancestors, actually.
As an Assyrian dance critic, I should know. A professional Assyrian dance critic.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because my ancestors actually were not Assyrian, so...
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that, but I somehow have this innate ability to dance in a very Assyrianic way.
Assyrian manner. Assyrianly.
Right. Hey, David.
Yes.
I had a dream about you last night.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Okay, tell me about it.
Okay, so I'm at the mall, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I walk into this store, which is a jewelry store, and it's being run by my fencing instructor.
Your fencing instructor?
Yes, my fencing instructor,
from
Bruce.
From the mainland?
From the mainland. His name was Bruce. It probably still is Bruce. And some
you
Italian
could have changed
guy.
It while you were gone.
Yeah, you know, you're right, but just for the sake of telling the story.
Okay,
just,
so you're in a jewelry
I'm
store
in
the
store,
mall, run
mall,
by your former fencing instructor.
Run by my former fencing instructor and some Italian dude. All right, so I walk into the store, and I see that everything's on sale. And I'm like, oh, sweet, that's awesome. I'm going to buy some jewelry. So I pick up this one piece of jewelry, and it's a necklace with a seashell on it. And I'm like, this is awesome. I'm buying this. So I bring it up to the desk, thinking it's going to be like $2. But no, the Italian guy says, that's going to be $40. And I'm like, what? That is crazy. I'm like, this ain't no sale. So I chuck the necklace back into the bin, and I just kind of hover around in an angry manner. Then the Italian guy and Bruce, my fencing instructor, leave the store. So I'm alone in the store, and I'm like, gee, golly, you know, I could really steal this necklace, and no one would know.
Oh.
So guess what I did?
No.
I stole it. I took.
Alex.
I took. It's a dream, okay? I wouldn't do this in real life, but I took the necklace and walked out of the store. Later that night, I get a call from Bruce, my fencing instructor, and he says, did you steal a necklace from my store? And I say, what? No. But on the inside, I'm like, holy crap, how did he find out? And he says, well, I took inventory, and, you know, we're missing one necklace with a seashell on it, and I know that you tried that one on. So I was all like, oh, no, I didn't take it. I, you know, but I'll
no,
call you.
Alex.
I'll call you if I hear anything. So I hung up with him, and immediately I called you, David. I picked up my phone, and I said, David, you got to help me. I'm in trouble. I did something bad, David. And you're like, oh, God, what'd you do? And I'm like, I stole this necklace. I'm like, I need to come over. So I come over to your place, and I walk into your room, and I say, David, look, the police are after me, okay? Like, they know someone took this necklace, and it's going to come out sooner or later that it was me. I'm like, I'm going to blame it on my boyfriend. I need to say that my boyfriend stole the necklace. So that means you are going to pose as my boyfriend, and you are going to take the rap for this.
I would not do that.
But you did, David. You said, you know what? I don't really want to do that, but I will. I will do it for you, Alex. And I'm like, David, you're like the best friend ever.
Aww.
And you totally did. And then the police arrested you.
Oh.
And I got off scot-free.
Wow.
So I just want to thank you.
I don't like that dream.
You don't like... I kind of like that dream.
One time, I had a dream that I was driving my car. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have my license or registration.
Uh-oh.
And the police car was going by, and they were going to find out. So what I did is I got out of my car. I pulled over to the side. I pulled over to the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got out of my car, and I put my car in my pocket. And the police car drove by, and they didn't know because... They didn't know that I was missing my license and registration because my car was in my pocket.
Wow. That's stupid.
That's a true story.
That's a true dream.
True dream. So, we are out of time.
We are, unfortunately,
for today.
Out of time.
That
so,
is all for Newsworthy Ghost Island.
We're going to end with a song by Big Star, which should have been more popular than they were, actually. Lead singer Alex Chilton. You might know him from the Box Tops. But he is in Big Star, and we are going to play September Girls.
So
good night, everybody. Thank
that's
you.
That's all from
thank
us
you
at Newsworthy Ghost
Newsworthy
Island.
Ghost Island. I'm Alex
David.
Jensen.
Oh.
Sorry, I jumped the gun.
You go first.
I'm Alex Jensen.
I am David Brunell Bruttman.
Have a good week, everybody. See you next time.
Just something. And you are listening to KWUR Clayton, 90.3 FM. And good morning. George here for a very sunny, allergy-laden, at least for me, a Saturday morning. And start things off with music from the American Christopher Rouse from the only station in St. Louis that actually has this CD, Har Har. They're playing it as part of the opening concerts this weekend as part of the symphony season. Opening weekend is tonight. Some of you may have gone to see the student special two nights ago that Robertson has instituted since the beginning of his tenure. This is Christopher Rouse's orchestral piece titled Rapture from the year 2000. Seems fittingly enough, no, not that kind of fundamentalist rapture as far as we can tell. And it's in a single movement, lasts about 12 minutes, and is, unlike a lot of things in life, seems fairly upbeat, at least by the end. So in this recording from, of all labels, Finland's Ondine, go figure, the Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra, Leif Segerstam is featured as conductor in Christopher Rouse's Rapture, here at KWUR Clayton, 90.3 FM.